Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
A new pain-relieving substance has been found. Opioids are extremely addictive and have caused thousands of overdose-related deaths over the past couple of years. But their pain-relieving properties have also helped many individuals recovering from painful accidents or surgeries. Thus, medical and research communities are in need of a new pain reliever that does not have the same potential for abuse. In the wake of the opioid epidemic, scientists and researchers have therefore been looking at pain-relieving drug alternatives that do not possess the same addictive qualities as opioids.
The reason why opioids are so dangerous and addictive is because they are able to modulate pain by interfering with the pain processing mechanism in our brains. Opioids do that by binding to specific receptors in the brain, known, unsurprisingly, as opioid receptors. When activated, these opioid receptors are important in modulating how we feel and experience pain. But unfortunately, they are also integrated into the pleasure and addiction centers of our brain. Opioid receptors are also found in the centers of our brain that control our breathing, which is why opioid overdoses are deadly. They actually stop you from breathing. And that's why opioids are on a Schedule I drug list.
However, in an exciting new development, researchers have developed new substances that have similar pain-relieving qualities to opioids, but without the negative side effects such as addiction and respiratory depression. So what we were just saying stops your breathing. This study was recently published in Science magazine. This new class of substances works by binding and activating to a different class of receptors in the brain known as adrenergic receptors. These receptors are unlike the opioid receptors because when activated, they do not suppress your breathing. However, these receptors also play a role in modulating pain, and thus when activated, they can help relieve the feelings of pain.
These results are very exciting and have the potential to help a lot of people, but it is still early days for this research. The lead doctor on the team says that although these findings are a milestone, his team still has a lot of work to do before there could be widespread use of this chemical substance in human medicine. So this is great news. Liana, I know that you and I'm sure almost every single human being in the United States have had family or friends or what have you who've been affected by the opioid crisis. Every year prior to COVID, it was 70,000 to 80,000 people. So what is that number? That's about a football stadium. Think about a college football stadium. That's about 70 or 80,000 people fit into a college football stadium who died every year. Now, post-COVID, it's something like 100 to 110, 120,000 people a year dying of opioid substances. So really, the fact that we're getting a new medication or compounds that do not lead to opioid overdoses is really exciting news. So this is something that we really have to look forward to. And why are we using opioids? Chop, chop. Like, this is crazy. There are so many other things that we can use. In a previous story that Leon and I read at some, at one point, we talked about the use of psychedelics being used for depression and anxiety, but we're still using these sledgehammers of SSRIs and other medications that may or may not be helpful compared to these psychedelics that we do know that are helpful. We have to move forward with our own stigma. And pain is easy, man. We can send a rocket to hit a meteor that's orbiting and put it off its path, right? And spin it off its path. We saw NASA did that a couple months ago. And we can't treat pain. We're still using the worst drugs possible that kill people. Come on. Come on. This is ridiculous. Come on, America. We could do better. We can do better. We have to do better. We have to be better.
Preterm birth rates in the U.S. are on the rise. Preterm births, or infant births prior to 37 weeks, is the leading cause of infant death, and it is on the rise in the U.S. according to a new report. Preterm births can have serious long-term complications for the health and development of these infants, not to mention the enormous emotional and financial toll it may take on the family.
According to the March of Dimes, a nonprofit organization that focuses on ending maternal and infant health risk and deaths, the rate of preterm births in the U.S. has increased 4%. Each year, the March of Dimes releases a report card where it grades the whole country, as well as individual states, on the health of mothers and babies. This year, the U.S. was given a D-plus grade compared to its previous grade of a C-minus in 2021. Largely because preterm birth rates have increased in 45 states, as well as Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. So overall, this new report found that in 2021, the preterm birth rate was 10.5%, which is the highest rate reported since 2007. My goodness.
The main takeaways from this recent March of Dimes report is the fact that preterm births are increasing and that we are seeing more racial disparities in maternal and infant health outcomes, according to Dr. Henderson, who is the organization's senior vice president. This report also emphasizes what policymakers can do to help, and Dr. Henderson stresses that this is not a partisan issue. On the brighter side, several states are acknowledging the dismal results of this report card and are taking action to improve health outcomes for both mothers and children.
Unfortunately, this report highlighted the huge disparities in preterm births between different racial groups. States with the highest populations of Black, American Indian, and Alaskan Native-born mothers have the worst grades and rates of preterm births. These disparities were also exacerbated by the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Alarmingly, this report noted that infants born to Black and Native American mothers are 62% more likely to be born prematurely compared to infants born to white women.
In the wake of this report, it is extremely important for policymakers to address the social factors that contribute to preterm births. Access to quality prenatal care, adequate housing, food, and transportation are all factors that are driving the disparity we are seeing in preterm birth rates across the country. If we're going to find the answer to these challenges which Black women face in relation to preterm births, we need to start looking at the whole picture. Saying that this is another example of racism and then moving on to the next story can itself be a form of racism. Let's dig into the data, let's dig into these numbers, and let's figure out what additional assistance can be provided to ensure that as few women as possible are faced with the heartbreaking experience of potentially losing a baby that could have been saved.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry, that's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.